Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
There is a spiritual disease that can isolate you from God's blessings. If you get this disease, it will make it impossible for you to enjoy God's kindness, no matter how much He blesses you. Today, we learn how to discover and cure that disease. There's a real joy in our suffering if we interpret it correctly. Because doing that will guard you against one of the most deadly spiritual traps you can ever fall into. Namely, self-pity. Self-pity is the opposite attitude of what James is calling us to here. He's saying, consider it pure joy. Self-pity says, consider it pure misery. Right? I mean, think about when you fall into self-pity. What's happening? What is self-pity? I mean, just think it through for a minute. Here's my take on self-pity. Basically, self-pity is when you become like a lawyer trying to build a case for how hard you've got it, how rough it is for you, and how much you deserve sympathy and pity and compassion. Right? Isn't that what we're doing when we fall into self-pity? That's, this happened to me, that happened to me, then this thing went wrong, and then that goes wrong, and then this other thing, and that's the thing. And you start listing all these, and you're searching around for more evidence. You're like trying to think of stuff. Oh, yeah, that thing went wrong. I didn't even think of that. That was drunk. What are you doing? You're building a case for how rough you've got it. And what do when you build a case? You search for all the evidence that supports your case. And what do you do with counter evidence? Right? You ignore it. You shut it out. So I'm trying to build a case for how hard I've got it, how unfair my life is, how painful I've got it. And so if God sends blessings my way, I'm going to ignore those. They spoil my case. Right? I can't admit to those. So blessings come my way. I start sweeping them under the rug. Someone comes to me. They're trying to cheer me up. They point out some positive thing. And it's always, well, yeah, but. And then I'm right back onto the negative thing. That's what it's like. That's why when somebody's wrapped up in self-pity, you can't ever cheer them up by pointing out blessings in their life. Because they get a blind eye turned to that. They don't want to acknowledge that. It spoils their whole woe is me case. So what happens when you fall into self-pity is you cut off all the inflows of joy into your life that God designed. God designed you to be able to get through life by having streams of joy constantly flowing into your heart from various different things. And what self-pity will do is it'll just wall those off, just dam those up so that it won't think about those things. It refuses to be comforted. Like Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted. Says, no, I don't want to be comforted because comfort will spoil my case. I'm trying to show here how hard I've got it. And you block off the inflow of joy into your life and you open up the floodgates for pain. In fact, not only that, but you magnify the painful things, right? Because you're trying to build this case. So you're just like, yeah, this thing happened, and then that happened, and then this lady says that, and then I have to do this, and then I forget, and then I come home, and this stuff's all over the floor. And you're just like, it's the worst thing in the world when you give your big list. But if you just think about it, all right, you walked in the house, there's something on the floor. So what? That's not the end of the world. There's something on the floor. Pick it up. You know, but when you're in self-pity, you just have to blow everything up. This is how horrible my life is. And the result of all that's pretty easy to predict, isn't it? How are you going to feel after a little while? Discouragement. That's going to bring you down to discouragement. You'll get so depressed that at some point you're going to get to the level where you can't snap out of it even if you try. See, that's what happens when you get depressed. At the beginning of self-pity, you can, at the very beginnings, you can decide, okay, enough of this. This is dumb. Yes, I got blessings, and I just need to... You could do that at the beginning, but if you wait too long to do that, you could drop right down into full-blown discouragement and depression and despondency, even to the where it feels like you're to the breaking point. In some cases, it actually feels like something snaps in you, and you say, this is a nervous breakdown. Because When that happens, see, it's not really the trials. When that happens, it's not so much that the trials you're facing at that moment are that much different than the trials you've faced in the past, if you think about it. In most cases, it's not a problem with trust. And it's not a problem with your nerves. It's not a nervous breakdown. In fact, it's really not even a suffering problem. It's an interpretation problem. Why did all this happen? Why did you fall down into that despondency? It's because when the trials came, I decided that the bad part matters a lot. The good part doesn't matter very much. Man's part matters a lot. I'm going to totally focus on that. Why does she do that? Why did he do? And he didn't give me this. And that person never said hi. And these people aren't loving me very much. And I'm focusing. That matters a lot to me. God's part matters little. I'm not going to think much about that. And so our attention and our thought and our daydreams are all focused on what people are saying and doing and what they might mean by that and their motives and all that, rather than fixing our attention and our thoughts and our daydreams on God and what He's doing in His goodness. It's just a decision that we make to do that. And we don't want to take responsibility for that. We don't want to admit to that we're doing that, and so we just blame it on hormones. You know, or chemicals, and we get a chemical imbalance, or nerves. You know, my nerves broke down. I had a nervous breakdown. You know, it's not your nerves. If you think about what happens in a nervous breakdown, the world wants you to think that's some sort of a medical condition. It's not. It's not a physiological thing. There's no scan they can do, so I'll see this thing snapped here. That's not it. The thing that broke down, when you have a nervous breakdown, the thing that broke down was not your nerves, it was your will. It's your perseverance. It's your steadfastness. It's your resistance to defeat. You've got some steadfastness. You've got some strength. I'm going to resist defeat, resist. And then finally your will just gives up and quits and gives in to every defeating attitude. Just let me have it. This is too much for me. I can't take this anymore. I've had it. I'm done. This is more than I can handle. And you just start giving in to those kinds of thoughts. And that happens because of a lack of perseverance. The person who has a spiritually sedentary lifestyle, they just can't get off the couch spiritually. They're never persevering through much of anything. And the perseverance, what happens is the perseverance muscle in that person gets weaker and weaker and weaker and atrophies to the point where the big test comes along and you just snap. You just snap. His will collapses. Or he has a panic attack. Or a fit of anger. Or any number of other bad results. And all that happens when we misinterpret trials. Let me just impress this on you. Self-pity, beloved, self-pity is not your friend. It is your enemy. It is not. It will do nothing for you. Fight it. Fight. Don't ever give in to that. It's the opposite of what God is commanding. He's saying, consider it pure joy. And self-pity says, consider it pure misery. It is disobedience in your thought life. Fight it. God's way is better. Self-pity won't get you anything good. Enjoy God's pity. God's way is better. His way is true. When you face hardship in your life, just remember, all you have to do is just remember the first two commands in the book of James. Number one, consider this pure joy. Consider it to be a good thing, like bitter tasting medicine, because of the benefits I'm going to get. And number two, let perseverance finish its work. And then you'll become mature and complete, not lacking anything.
How would you feel if you showered gifts on someone you love every day and that person kept holding those gifts at arm's length and went around complaining to everyone that you never gave them anything? That's what we do to God when we wallow in self-pity. And when we do that, we're lying about God. We're lying to God. And we're lying to ourselves. When we say everything is going wrong, that's a lie. Everything's not going wrong. Everything is only going wrong if you don't count all the thousands of things that are going well. And why would you ignore those? Especially when they're all gestures of God's love designed to bring you joy. I don't know why it's so hard to let go of self-pity. I mean, it's not like it's especially pleasurable, right? Not nearly as pleasurable as the joy we could have if we did let go of it. Yet for some reason, there's something in us that wants to cling to it. If you have that disease right now, I would urge you, let it go. Give up on making the case for how hard you have it and begin drinking in God's countless blessings.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.